So life is on pause right now, and there's really not a lot we can do about it. In fact, there's really not a lot we can do. Cabin fever is a real thing, just being stuck in your house. But there is one thing that we can do right now. We can take a walk. My family has been taking so many walks lately. Our kids just jump on their bikes or their scooters and they take off, and Kelly and I just follow behind them. It's just a really good way for the two of us to connect. There's something about getting outside and taking a walk that just makes you go, ah. And we can talk about things that we're excited about, stuff that we're looking forward to, because we've had plenty of those conversations about, hey, what we're gonna do when this thing finally settles down and we don't have to be quarantined to our house anymore. But there's also something about getting outside and taking a walk that opens you up to talk about what's really going on in here. Like what you're scared of, what you're struggling with, what you might be suffering with right now. I mean, right now, it just seems like the time that we're in, this pause amplifies suffering. Like any kind of pain that you have, just it feels like it's under a microscope and we're more aware of suffering around us than we normally are. I mean, maybe that's something like you're being consumed with fear, or it's more something a little bit more tangible. Like you've suffered in your life, maybe you are right now, and it's a certainty that it'll happen in the future. Or maybe the idea of suffering is one of your big holdups with Jesus in the first place. So let's talk about it. Let's just take a walk and talk about suffering. So we live in a time and culture that has an unstated goal of being happy and healthy constantly. Now those two things are great things. I personally prefer to be happy and healthy. But what we've done is we, and when I say we, all of us, our culture, we've made those things the expected norm. So what happens when we're not happy or healthy? Like right now, that unstated goal and that expectation of that being the norm, I mean, that's not happening right now. Our lives have been disrupted. Our happiness has been put on hold. Our comfort has been replaced with fear. The general feeling we have right now is just this feeling of suffering. And that's not supposed to happen. We're not supposed to suffer. And why would a good God allow suffering anyway? Like right now in the middle of COVID-19, where's God? Because this seems like a pretty opportune time for him to show up. And I don't know about you, but it just feels like he's sleeping on the job. Have you thought that? Maybe you felt that way. And it's okay if you have. You're not the only one. So what I want to do is let's talk about suffering from a different perspective than we normally do. And it's definitely a different perspective than our culture has. Now, I'm not going to downplay anything, because I don't know what you have or what you are suffering with, but I do know that it's real. In my years of being a pastor, I've heard so many different stories of personal suffering that I'm not surprised by anything anymore. But let's be open to a different take on it and what we can actually do with it. There was this guy named Ivan Illich, and he was a priest and a philosopher. He said something that I thought was really interesting, but it was also really convicting for me personally. He said that there's this American myth that denies the existence of suffering in the sense of pain, that those things shouldn't be. And what that actually does, that myth devalues the experience of suffering, and it denies the encounter we have with reality. Devalues the experience of suffering. That's the line that got me, because is that even possible? Like, how do you devalue suffering? I mean, I don't know anybody that even wants the experience of suffering. So forget devaluing it. Are you saying that there's actually value in suffering? Maybe he's onto something. Maybe the real problem is not suffering itself. Maybe the real problem is that we do devalue the experience of suffering, and that we deny the reality that we encounter. Throughout the Bible, it shows the reality of suffering and how to actually face it instead of run away from it in fear. Not acknowledging or dealing with suffering, not facing that reality, all that does is create hopelessness, which leads to cynicism, which leads to bitterness. Psalm 130 actually acknowledges the reality of suffering. It starts off and it says, "From the depths of despair, O Lord, hear my cry. I call for your help. Pay attention to my prayer." The Message translation of that actually says, "Help God, the bottom has fallen out of my life." That's suffering. That despair, the bottom falling out, that's what suffering feels like. And you and I both experience that in our lives. One of my favorite pastors was Eugene Peterson, and he said that suffering is a characteristic of the person. Suffering's personal. It's something that you and I both experience in our lives. Which begs the question then, is there a purpose to it? Is there a purpose to suffering? If Psalm 130 starts off by acknowledging suffering And this is supposed to be a song that's about celebration, that's being sung by a massive group of people on their way to go celebrate more and worship God more. Well, then there's got to be a purpose to suffering. And this might be the point where you want to push back or tune me out. Man, what do you mean purpose to suffering? What are you talking about, Matt? Suffering feels like a punishment. And in fact, I'm a little offended you would even say that based on what I've experienced. And I totally get that. That's my first reaction too. But maybe there actually can be purpose that comes out of suffering. And if there is purpose in it, then there's hope. Look at three different things. First, suffering helps you see reality. Our world just wants to explain it away or come up with quick solutions or just try to avoid it as if it's something that can be avoided. But that denies the reality of it. It devalues the experience of it. Whatever you have suffered or whatever you are suffering with right now, I mean, maybe you're sick. Maybe you lost somebody that you care about so deeply that it physically hurts you when you think about them. Maybe you lost your job or you're afraid that you're gonna lose your job. Maybe you were betrayed by somebody you trust. Maybe you feel like you're suffocating in fear. Maybe you suffer with depression or anxiety. Maybe you've got a kid that's going through some really tough stuff right now. Whatever you experience personally when it comes to suffering, that will show you the reality that we live in a broken and mortal world and that you and I both are broken and mortal also. The good news in that is, once you see that reality, that you're broken and that you're mortal, that's where redemption and freedom can actually start. You start looking for solutions. Like, this can't be it. Like, this world is just broken and messed up. This can't be it. Once you see the reality of that, you start searching for the redemption. The good news is the freedom and redemption, it's only found in Jesus. That's a purpose that can come out of suffering. Here's another one. It keeps going on in the Psalm. It says that I'm counting on the Lord. Yes, I'm counting on Him. I put my hope in His word. I'm longing for the Lord more than the centuries long for the dawn. Yeah. More than the centuries long for the dawn. Man, this despair and the bottom falling out, in the Psalm 130, it creates this counting on the Lord. It revealed that this longing for Jesus, it revealed something. Suffering has a tendency to reveal who or what you're really counting on, who or what you really want. So whenever you're scared or you're struggling or the bottom feels like it falls out, who or what is it that you count on? Is it another person? Is it a substance? Is it a hobby? What are you really counting on? One of the purposes that comes out of suffering is to teach us to hope and count on Jesus, not someone or something else. As a pastor, I wish I could tell you that anytime I've been scared or the second I start experiencing some kind of suffering that I immediately fall to my knees in prayer, that I run to God's word just like Psalm 130 says. I wish I could tell you that's always my reaction, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes I count on escapism instead of counting on Jesus. I try to lose myself in a hobby or a show on Netflix, or I isolate myself from people that care about me. Not because a hobby or a show on Netflix is a problem. That's not the problem at all. The problem is I'm trying to use those things to escape from the reality that I need to face, or isolating myself from people that I care about and that I know care about me because I know they love me too much to not walk with me when I suffer. And if they do that, that means I gotta face it and I just don't want to. Sometimes I run and hide instead of count on and run to Jesus. We're all struggling right now to one degree or another. It's been hard on everybody, including me. Like, I've struggled with this. Can I just be real with you? And you know that I'm going to be anyway. I just always like to ask you. But ever since this pandemic started, I know who my hope is in. I know that even though we're in a battle right now, no matter what happens, I know that Jesus wins this war. I know that even if is so much greater than what if. I know that and believe that to my core. But I've still struggled in all this. I don't know if it's just the uncertainty or it's not being able to get with people, knowing that there's so many people that are suffering badly right now and I want to help and I just don't feel like I'm doing enough. On top of the fact that I've been watching my wife suffer through so much pain after losing her sister last month, all of that, it's led to this feeling of discouragement in the form of what I would guess is a mild form of depression. Now, I've never struggled with depression before like many people do, but every single week, I just feel like I'm wrestling with discouragement. I'm discouraged. Ever since this pandemic started, do you know what the worst day of the week has been for me? Sundays. Sundays are the worst day. Easter Sunday was one of the worst days for me this year. It just feels like, specifically on Easter, that there was just this discouragement that felt like a dark cloud that was following me everywhere. And why? It's Easter. I've got so much to be grateful for, so much to be joyful about. I mean, it's Easter Sunday. The resurrection of Jesus not only promises, but it proves. It flat out proves that Jesus is greater than all this stuff we're messing with right now. I've got so much to be grateful for and excited about. Nothing bad happened to me on Easter, but I was miserable from the moment I woke up. You can ask Kelly. And then at some point in the afternoon, I just asked her, I said, Kelly, is it okay if I cry now? I just lost it. I flat out lost it. And I really don't know why. Yeah, there's spiritual warfare and emotions for sure. I'm feeling the weight and the pressure and the stress that everybody is feeling right now. But I just couldn't understand why I was suffering with so much discouragement until I got to Monday. The Monday after Easter, I probably prayed more on that day than I had any other day this year. Suffering on Sunday pushed me into prayer on Monday. I was acting out the truth that I know to be true, that whenever we suffer, what we do is we count on and run to Jesus. I was doing that. Suffering on Sunday, suffering was creating this authentic dependence on God that wasn't just lip service. So let me just say to you, when, not if, when you suffer, don't waste it. Don't waste it by denying that it's there. Don't waste it by trying to run away from it. Don't waste it by trying to escape from it with someone or something else, because if you do that, you're going to miss the opportunity that suffering has to present it and create this dependence on Jesus in you. That's one of the purposes that comes out of suffering. It will create a dependence on Jesus in you, and that's a really, really good thing. Jesus' story, it's one of suffering. His suffering wasn't a sad song in his story. It was actually a love song. One of the ways that Jesus shows his love is through his suffering. So whatever your personal experiences with suffering, and some people that's much more intense than others, whatever your suffering is, it can be a love song, but it will be a sad song if it's apart from Jesus. If you're apart from Jesus, whatever you suffer with, man, that's just a sad song. But if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, it can actually be a love song. Here's what I mean. There was a guy named George MacDonald who was a Scottish minister. How Scottish is that name too, George MacDonald? And he said that Jesus suffered unto death, not so that men wouldn't experience suffering, but so that their sufferings would be like his. So that when we suffer, we look like Jesus. We look like him, that's the prize. Again, I don't want to downplay anything that you've been through or what you're suffering with right now. I don't want to downplay any of that stuff. But maybe Jesus is more concerned about growing you through suffering than he is getting you through it. Because whenever the bottom falls out, the dominant thought is, you know, when will I or how can I get through this or how can I get out of this? And that's understandable because nobody wants suffering to last. Nobody wants suffering to last. But what if the purpose is to grow through suffering? Growth is always a love song. Like, I want my kids to grow because I love them. And with growing, I know there's growing pains. I don't create those growing pains. I don't want them to happen to my kids because I know they're painful, but I also know that they're purposeful. What if a purpose in suffering is to help us grow? Now, if we just try to get through it or get out of it, then our suffering is actually in vain because we missed an opportunity. We missed an opportunity to look like Jesus, because suffering will make you look like the Savior. I want to look like Jesus to everyone I meet. And the longer this quarantine goes on, the more I'm really going to look like Jesus, because my hair and beard are getting out of control. Like, I miss my barber right now. But I really want to look like Jesus. And if that's true, I don't get to pick and choose what parts of him and what parts of his life I look like. And if I want to look like Jesus in compassion for people, if I want to look like Jesus in humility, if I want to look like him in leadership and in wisdom, if I want to look like Jesus at a party, Jesus was a hit at parties. I mean, just read John chapter 2. If I want to look like Jesus, then I've got to look like all of them. And that means I got to look like him in suffering. If you read the stories of people in the New Testament that suffered because of their faith in Jesus, They considered that suffering the greatest honor and privilege of their lives. Like, why? Like, how is suffering an honor and a privilege? Well, it wasn't about what they were going through. They suffered through some grotesque and horrific things. It wasn't about what they suffered. It was that they got to suffer like Jesus, that they looked like him. They suffered well. The only way you can suffer well and suffer like Jesus is if you depend on him and if you let him grow you. That's the only way. Don't let your fear grow you. Don't let your circumstances grow you. Don't let your worry grow you. Those things just grow up weeds. Let Jesus grow you. He grows oak trees. And I promise you that he will grow you if you let him in. Every single one of us brings something into our suffering with us, something. I mean, whether that's different things or different people, we bring something into our suffering with us. And whatever that is for you, that's gonna tell you if you're just trying to get through it or if you're actually trying to grow through it. So whenever you're suffering, and whenever you're scared or you struggle, what are you bringing into it with you? Do you bring in alcohol or substances? Do you bring in food? Do you bring in past sufferings? Do you bring in porn? Do you bring in isolation? What is it that you bring into it with you? Because if it's one of those things, if you're bringing stuff into your suffering that helps you escape, if you're just trying to escape, that means you're just trying to get through it and get out of it. It means your suffering is going to be in vain. It's going to be pointless. It means you missed an opportunity. Or you bring people into suffering with you. First and foremost, Jesus. Psalm 130 starts off talking about suffering with an intimate prayer. It's going straight to Jesus. On top of that, Jesus suffered in every way that we ever could so that he could look at you when you're in the middle of your stuff and say, yeah, me too. I know what that feels like. Can I walk with you in this? And he wants to. Invite him into your suffering. Whether you've been a Christian for years or this is the first time you're ever hearing anything about Jesus, the first time you're ever being a part of a church, you can invite him into your suffering right now. Do that. You bring family in, friends, people that you trust into your suffering. Man, don't feel bad about that. Don't think that you're bothering people. Don't think that they can't relate or you're the only one that's struggling with whatever that is. Don't think that. If people don't want to walk with you in it, they don't care about you anyway. Never, ever suffer in silence. That's one of the amazing things about the church is we don't have to suffer in silence. Man, we get to walk together. People that care about you are going to feel honored to walk with you in whatever it is that you're suffering. The church will feel honored to do that. Christians will feel honored to do that. They're not going to judge you. Yeah, there's a few people that call themselves Christians that do some stupid stuff with judgment and condemnation, but that's not who Jesus is. That's not who real people that follow Jesus are. And Jesus led out with grace, and then he brought up truth so that you could grow. That's what it looks like in the church too. We lead out in grace, we walk in suffering with people, and then we use truth to help people grow. If you're bringing people into your suffering, that's a sign that you're trying to grow through this, not just get through this. Remember this. What you suffer is not important. It's the way you suffer. What's not important is what you suffer. It's the way that you suffer. That psalm keeps going and it says, "O Israel, hope in the Lord. With the Lord there is unfailing love and his redemption overflows." Hope in Jesus when you're scared. When you're struggling, hope in Jesus. And when you're suffering, hope in Jesus, because the redemption and the purpose and the love that he has for you is so much greater than anything you could ever suffer in this life. I read a story about a shipwreck that happened off the southwest corner of England, and there was a 15-year-old sailor on that ship that was able to swim and swim up and climb onto this rock that was offshore, and he clung onto that rock all night and until he was rescued the next morning. And he ended up getting interviewed about this, and the reporter asked me. He said, "You must have been shaking all night as you were holding on so tightly to that rock." And the young sailor said, yeah, I was trembling. I trembled all night out of fear and cold. And then he added, "But the rock never trembled once." Man, whatever you're struggling with right now, whatever you're suffering with, whatever you're struggling with, and all of us are to some degree, even if you're shaking, Jesus isn't. Grab a hold of him because he's that rock. The redemption and purpose and love that he has specifically for you is so much greater than the time that you're in right now. And this topic is suffering. It is one of the biggest ones where the most questions come up, and I'm just scratching the surface on it. You probably have so many questions or things that you'd like to talk about, and I want to give you that chance, and I also want to give you the chance to respond. So if you want to respond to Jesus and ask him to be your Lord and Savior, if you want to invite him into your suffering, if you want to know what it looks like to take that next step of faith with him, or if you just want to ask questions about what we talked about today, I want to give you that chance. And you can text the word new right now to the number at the bottom of your screen, and one of our pastors will reach out to you. I mean, you can talk about anything you want to talk about, ask questions, we can pray over you, or if you want to take that step and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can do that right now. So text the word new. We're also going to go into a time right now where there's going to be some reflection questions on the screen, and I'd encourage you to take some time. Like, don't just skip over them. Talk about those with your family or the people you're with right now, or just journal them. Or maybe those are questions you want to talk with one of our pastors about. So take the time, text the word new right now to the number at the bottom of your screen. And remember that even though things are hard right now, when you go through suffering, purposes that come out of that are that God's showing you reality, that there's something greater, that's a chance for him to grow you through it, not just get you through it. And Jesus wants you to have dependence and count on him, not anything else. That's where redemption, that's where freedom are at. And that's offered to you and me right now. And I hope you have a great week, guys. I love you. And I'll see you next Sunday.